Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a shift in the atmosphere. No. The pastor has been telling us about that paradigm shift. There was a shift in the atmosphere. This is a morning where you shouldn't go back home the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be here this morning? Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. We are gathered here for you, Father. This atmosphere is your. Fill this atmosphere, Lord. May we experience shifts. Paradigm shifts in the way we think. Paradigm shift in the way we live our lives. In consecration, in service for you this morning. Father, be thou exalted. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Wow, can you believe it's May already? Oh my goodness. And I know there are some excited birthday, May birthdays in the house. I remember somebody told me my birthday is 23 days, in 23 days. I said, son, you are keeping this thing. He's so excited about May that he tells everybody, this is my birthday month. He's excited about this. About birthday, hallelujah. As somebody who appreciates what God has done for them, we thank God for all of you. Zoe, I know you are there. She told me, say, this is my age. I say, really? I say, okay. Hallelujah. Are we excited to be here this morning? Before we continue, I would like us to just go through a confession. This morning, I want to thank our senior pastor, obviously, who is not here today. But I thank him for the opportunity to minister to God's children. I never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. So, Pastor, thank you so much. We know God has great things for us this morning. But I would like us to take our confession, please. It will be on the overhead. And let's just go through our confession for 2026. Are we ready? Okay. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift. And power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me. And he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. And anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump, and he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said he is giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters in Mara to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah, and from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes, way, and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you, cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investments, pleasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Begin to speak life over your life. Speak life over your body. Speak life over your soul, your spirit. Speak life over your family. Speak life over your properties, your jobs, your businesses. Speak life over those ideas, those business ventures. Speak life over them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here. And I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, takeover, makeover, do over, walk over, and fly over here. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. So this is May, the fifth month of the year 2026. Amen. I hope you've been having an incredible. I hope the confession is being realized in your life one day at a time. Amen. So we stand on every word that God has promised. Every word, every shift. I mean, things I've gone through my life personally this year, which the life, the words of this confession just become real. You know, Because see, adversity will expire and I will recover. No adversity was said to be permanent. Adversity in your life this year is not permanent. You should never accept permanent adversity. Don't say this is how my life is. It is how it's always been. It just comes and I take it. I'm used to it. No, no, no. You should never be used to adversity. Never be used to adversity. Praise the Lord. This morning, I would like to share something from somebody who had adversity in his life. A lot of adversity. But in that adversity, he never accepted it to be the end of his life. I'm sure some of you are saying, oh, he's talking about David. I'll shock you this morning. It's not David. I'm not talking about David, but I'm talking about another person I really love in the Bible called Joseph. If you want to see a life that has hope, go through the story of Joseph in Genesis, from Genesis 37. You will see somebody whose humility made a way for him. Hallelujah. And so I have titled the message this morning to be Operating Within the Grace of Servanthood. Operating Within the Grace of Servanthood. This is not something that is, I have observed, is missing a lot in the church today. We don't have servants. We have people who want to do things, but not for God. Because when we talk of servant, it means you have a master. If you call yourself a servant, you have a master. There are people who serve in God's church today, but they are serving themselves. Amen? Now listen to me. There are people who serve in God's church today, but they are serving themselves. They are not serving God. And so I will go through David, and I believe that God has something, because I was really blessed. You know, when the pastor sends you a message that you are going to preach, you have like 2-3 different worlds. You know, you have your normal life, but then you are thinking, what am I going to share? It's always there in your head. In your going out and in your coming in. Right? In your sleep, you have to, God, what should I share? You know, what will really bless the children, your children, you know? And so this message came to me, the life of Joseph. And I said, okay, servanthood. I know Joseph was a very, very humble, dedicated young man. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, please help me, verse 1. Just, I want us to first start from verse 1, Genesis 37. It says, and Jacob, are we there? Yes, it says, and Jacob, from King James I'm reading, say, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years, being what? 17, he was a teenager. Joseph being 17 years only, was feeding the flock with his brethren. So he was in the school of manual labor. He was working. He was the flock of his parent, his father. So he was helping his dad. He goes down and he says, he was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. For if you don't know who the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah are, you have Dan, Naphtali, and then you have Gad and Asher. Those were those four brothers. His father's wives and Joseph brought unto his father what? Their evil report. Joseph already knew responsibility, how to give account. He was accountable. At a very young age, he knew that, look, when I observe what is wrong, I channel it to the right channels. You know, at job, they tell us that if you have something and you try to solve it, it's not working, what do? You escalate it. They give you even numbers. Say, oh, HR. When somebody tells you I'm touching HR, just know that something is not well. It's not right. So, but Jacob, when he observed that his brothers were doing, practicing things that were not right, he took upon himself the responsibility to tell his father. And I bet you his father loved him for that. The Bible does not tell us what the father did to these four brothers. But what the Bible tells us is, in Genesis chapter 37, verse 13, the Bible tells us that, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, yea, am I. So the father had already seen in this man a gift. This man had a purpose. He had some leadership skills. He loved accountability. He said, okay, go towards your brothers, see what they are doing, give them, you know, food to eat. And the Bible says, Joseph went there without hesitating. He said, yeah, am I. You know, some of our kids today, when you send them, like Jesus said, some people, when you send them, they will tell you that they are going, but they are not going. Then the other one, he said, I'm not going, but he goes. Right? Some of our kids, when you send them, you have to make sure behind them. Did you do it? Have you, even this morning, I had to shout to one of my kids, did you do what I asked you to say? He said, yeah, yes, daddy. Why? Because you have to emphasize to them. Do it, do it. Joseph said, yeah, I am. That's the spirit of somebody who wants to serve. He loved his father so much. Then the Bible tells us, I see some people laughing. Parents, don't look at your kids now, please. Let them be. Let them be, right? Let them be. Okay. But Joseph had a spirit to serve. The father told him, go. He said, yes, I'm going. Little did he know that his humble spirit of servanthood led to one of the most difficult episodes of his life, where his life will be shaped. But one thing I love about Joseph is this. Joseph, in his humility, will obey. And wherever you put him, whatever happens, in his spirit of service and humility, he was always placed at the position where he had to command. God was preparing him for something big he did not know. The father had identified that he was an administrator, whether we like it or not. Joseph was an administrator that was identified. You know, as parents, we have to identify the gifts that our kids have. From that young age, we begin to fan it. If you know that your son or your daughter likes cooking, fan it. Right? Or your son likes manual work, fan it. When you are walking out there, call him. Some of them you don't even have to call. When they see you out there, they are coming. And you give them what they can do. Right? I tell my sons, I say, look, in my house when we were growing, my mother was a no-nonsense mother. You don't go in my mother's house without having something to do. There were moments we averagely would be about 15 in the house. I talk about 15 with bunk beds all over the place. And in those bunk beds, you sleep two. Right? And so, but everybody had something to do. Everybody had something to do. You get up in the morning, are you the one sweeping the entrance into the house? You go and sweep. Are you the one washing the plates? You go and wash. Are you the one cleaning the living room? You do it. Are you the one washing the car? You do it. And so all of them were even shared in ages. So you know that when you are getting to 11 years, you are going to the car. And the final one will be the living room, because that's where your mother says this one. Even when guests come, the place has to really be good. So when you are in your about 15, 16 years, living room. So it starts like that. Jacob had seen in Joseph an administrator. And so he said, go, look after your brethren. Give me some report. Because if you look at what he said, 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and what? And bring me word again. Say, bring me word again. So I am sending you to go and bring something back. Word. So he was already in the school of training as an administrator. And so the Bible says when Joseph went, and the brother, we know the story, the brothers sold him to the Midianites, and they took him and they sold him to Potiphar. Even in Potiphar's house, that servant, that humble servant, that spirit of servant, of being a servant, was still in Joseph. The Bible tells us that. See, and it came to pass, chapter 39, verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house. Why did he make him overseer? Because he realized that Joseph had something which he sensed it. He said, whatever this guy does, he just excels in it. He had something. Now, there's one thing that the Holy Spirit brought me to see, that in all this, you know, annals of what Joseph did, it is said, there's nowhere it says that Joseph was mourning and planning how he would avenge his brothers. There's no way he was telling people in Potiphar's house that you see me like this, sir. If I tell you my story, I was sold by my brothers. Can you imagine? I'm not supposed to be here. My father had flocks. We had money. My father, I was living a good life. I had a coat of many colors. You will not imagine. Beautiful coat. The Bible does not tell us that Joseph went about telling people what he had gone through. Right? As servants always want to see what they can do. They want to help. They want their hands dirty. They want to be there. They don't want to live in the past. In the body of Christ, when you begin to walk, when you identify what God wants you to do in the body of Christ, and you put in your whole heart to do it, right? You will not have time for many things. There are many things that people will be going through, and for you, it's just not, you don't see how it impacts you because you are focused on what God has told you to do. You are focused on it. Joseph never went and said, my brother sold me, oh Potiphar. If there's a way I can work with you for some number of years and get some money, please. I can buy my freedom so I'm able to go back to my father. No, he never did that. He served, and as he served, he excelled. And the Bible tells us when Potiphar realized that he was blessed by the gods, though we know he's God, Potiphar blessed him as his head man. The Bible said Potiphar had concern for nothing in his house, nothing inside, outside, nothing in his house, because David showed an excellence. Excellence. Whatever he did it with excellence. But with God's help, it was excellent. The heart of a servant. Now, whatever we do, I always say it here, whatever we do, be it in church, be it at a job site, in school, we should do it to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our abilities. The best of our abilities. Because when we do it in the best of our abilities, then God sees our efforts and then God elevates us now. Hallelujah. And so Joseph went, and we all know what happened to Joseph. What happened? He was tempted. That was his, you know, Potiphar's house was Joseph's high. Because there he had food, he had everything. That was his high. He was free. But God said, you know what? You are a servant. I want you to serve me when you have and to serve me when you don't have. And so God orchestrated, and what happened? Joseph found himself in prison. Now, when Joseph found himself in prison, even in prison where people will sob, like somebody said, there's no guilty man in prison. If you ask them, they'll always tell you, I did not do it. You know? So, even in prison, Joseph did not go about saying, this lady tried, you know, to tempt me and I refused. He did not go about crying. He went about serving. And his service was not unrecognized.
And to think that Joseph even was put in the prison where Pharaoh's prisoners were. You know what it means when you say Pharaoh's prisoners? It means that Pharaoh has an idea who is in that prison. And so if Pharaoh in his birthday is happy, he say, okay, who can I release? Oh, I remember this guy that I put there some years ago. Go and remove him. Pharaoh did not know Joseph, meaning that Joseph might have remained in that prison forever. He would have remained in that prison forever. Because as you see, when he was in prison and these two prisoners dreamt, they were all from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh called all of them out. And we all know the outcome, how one was killed and the other one was restored. But you see, Joseph, being a child who saw in the future, he knew that at some point his service would be needed. Because he knew that he had a gift. That gift of interpreting dreams, he knew he had it. And at some point, somebody will have a dream. And they will look for him. And oh, he told them, he said, look, when you go out there, remember me. He said, the Bible says, he told them, he said, tell Pharaoh, remind Pharaoh about me. Pharaoh did not know Joseph. But Joseph knew what he wanted. Joseph knew his position. Joseph knew that there was something. His path was carved in a way that he just had to live through it, continue his service, and the doors would just be opening for him. They would just be opening. Praise the Lord. And so Joseph went and he was released. And even when Joseph was released from prison, what happened? He was made the prime minister of Egypt. The gift that his father had seen at age 17 was now fully manifested. Because when he was put as the prime minister of Egypt, he was put to do what? To oversee. Remember, he was put to give records. He was overseeing. Thank you very much. He was overseeing Egypt. That's what he was doing. He was just exercising the gift the father had seen in him at the age 17. But he's, you know, you can have a gift, but if you don't have a spirit of a servant, that gift is wasted. That gift is wasted. You see, there are many people today who, when they give their life to Christ, the first thing they think about is they want to preach. Thinking about the day they will also have their own church where they can preach. You see them all over the place, especially in Africa. There are so many. You know, there are streets that you call church street. You go there, you see so many churches. And you see people on pulpit who have not known how to serve. Preaching is not just that's not the end. That beginning is servant, service. You know, when we gave our lives to Christ, thank God our pastor did not just tell us that you guys are young men, I will show you how to preach. I just train you how to preach. No, my pastor never did that. And strangely enough, I gave my life to Christ when I was also 17 years. At 17 years, my pastor never came and said, Kermit, I see in you a gift. And I will find it. You are going to be a preacher. No. They encourage us to work in the church. We used to have services in his living room. We had to trek from where I was. We would trek miles to go to his house early first. Why? Because his living room is not made up of benches. His living room had his sofas there, his couch. So you had to go and carry this from his living room, take it outside, then bring benches inside before people came. Every Sunday, every Tuesday Bible studies, every Friday prayer meeting. You had to do it. Because when you start from that small how to serve, right, you are building a habit which when God sees it, God knows that this one, you go through from one level to the other. And when the time will reach for you to become whether a pastor or a leader, it will not be any doubt. God will lay it in the pastor's heart that he has served. And we have to take him to the next level. But today you see people who preach the gospel who have not known how to serve. They've never served. That's why when they even have converts, those converts don't know how to serve. Because the spirit that he gives out is not a spirit of service. It's a bossy spirit. I want to be a boss. I want to be recognized. I want that when they are presenting me, you know, in a conference or in an evangelistic meeting, they call my name and all those things that I've accomplished. That's not what, like, Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say. He said, I watched him say one day, he said, in those days when they were in the Pentecostal movement, he said, when you went to a Pentecostal evangelical meeting and you preached the gospel and you had four people give their life to Christ, five, oh, you have done it. He said, yes, you will be happy that four people gave their life to Christ. But he said he had one brother. So that brother went to one meeting and he preached. 50 people came out and gave their life to Christ. He said, wow, this is wonderful. How did you do it? So he said one day he had an opportunity to meet this brother. And this brother, when they finished the meeting, they went to him and another pastor. Said, well, brother, how did you do it? How are you doing this? You know, he said, the brother, instead of giving thanks to God, this brother was, he said, the brother, I think, held the tie and said, you know, without me, nothing, nobody can do it. If not me, nobody can do it. So it means in the Pentecostal movement, you guys are the four and the five. The five and the fours. When you preach, four people give their life. Five people give their life. I am the 50s. When I preach, it's 50. So no, I'm just perplexed. What he just said, he said he heard this brother say that without me, something like, without me, nobody can do it. Then he said, and then I remember that pride goes before it falls. He said, and then I started observing this brother's life. And then from that moment, his life went like that. Because the spirit of servanthood was not in him. He did not recognize the master who gave, who called those 50 people to give their lives. He did not. There was no spirit of a servant in him. He did not identify that. Hallelujah. So I want us to give us some characteristics of servants. The servant is a humble servant, like we said about Joseph. Joseph's humility made a way for him. His humility, he did not see himself. There's a story when you remember when the people had spent all what they had saved for those 7 years. Because when word came out that Joseph was made a prime minister, word also came out that there will be 7 years of plenty. And the people were encouraged to keep in their barns for the 7 years of want. And many did that. But at some point, they had all consumed all what they kept. And so they went to Pharaoh. You see, they did not even go to Joseph. They went to Pharaoh and said, look, give us food or we will die. Joseph said, why are you coming to me? I have an administrator for that. Just go to Joseph. Whatever he says, do it. The Bible says when they came to Joseph, he did not look at himself. What he did was he gave them food, but he told them that, look, one-fifth of what you sow from your land, one-fifth will go to Pharaoh, his master. That's the heart of a servant. He did not say, look, come and give me something I'll put by. You know, he did not enrich himself. He said one-fifth, and the Bible says that became law in Egypt. It became law that your land, one-fifth, is owned by Pharaoh. Because of a humble guy who did not see himself. You know, there's a lot of news in the news these days about, you know, people defrauding the government, right? A lot of news, people defrauding the government, buying whatever they do, defrauding money and all that stuff. That's not Joseph. That is not Joseph. Joseph, when he had that opportunity, he did not use it for his benefit. He knew that he was put there not because he had favors from somebody. It was God who put him there. It was God who put him there. And so he did what God had planned that he do. God. Humility. The second one is favor. He who serves knows favor. Joseph's life was full of favor wherever he went. Amen. The only place he did not find favor was before his brothers, which was out of jealousy. But that their hatred for him was a plan triggered by God to position him where he had to go, like somebody said, from the pit to the throne. After they had triggered Joseph's sale, from that moment, God took over. God took over. So everything that along Joseph's way was favor, favor, favor. Until, if we were today, people would be like, ah, this man, you just come here, a foreigner? Because they knew he was a Hebrew guy, right? Remember when Potiphar's wife, when she was accusing him, what did she say? The Hebrew boy you brought in your house has come to defy me. So they knew he was a Hebrew guy. But he still had that favor. In a foreign land, the servants has favor. Favor. You serve with your heart, you will always have favor. Those who cry that they don't have favor, look in their life, they don't serve. They are not servants. They are not servants. Because, first of all, the servant does it not expecting nothing in return. Anybody who serves in God's house does it out of love. Right? And they don't expect anything in return. He was in a foreign land. Favor followed him. Unexplained people. You will not understand why such favor. Even when he told Pharaoh that, look, Pharaoh, the dreams that you have, they are the same. And he explained it to Pharaoh and said, look, my recommendation for you is this. Look for somebody, you know, an administrator who will do, this is what they will do. Then Pharaoh said, Pharaoh did not say, you are a Hebrew boy, a foreigner. If I put you a foreigner, what will my people say? That we don't have enough wise people or capable people to do it. But favor went ahead. Favor positioned him and excelled. And he excelled. And he did not just, like my brother was saying, on cruise. He went above and beyond. Hallelujah. He did the best. He did well by Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not regret it. Because if he had not done a good job, when his parents came, he wouldn't have sent his parents. Pharaoh wouldn't have called his parents, his father, that come. What do you want? You know that the father went before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was asking, how old are you? He said, the years of my have been many. You know? You think if Joseph was doing a bad job, Pharaoh would have favored his family like that? No. He did a good job. He who serves has favor. Hallelujah. He who serves does not retaliate. Amen. When you serve, you don't retaliate. You don't say an eye for an eye. Because in your mind, is what you are supposed to do that counts. Whatever people do to you along the way, it doesn't really matter. As long as it doesn't affect your end. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis 50, if you read Genesis 50 from verse 15, Genesis 50 from verse 15. Let's look at 19. It says, or 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Let's start from 15. So we get to kind of get what was going on here. It says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger. They did not go themselves. They sent a messenger unto Joseph. They were still afraid unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall he say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. He wept. Because to him, God is the one that allowed everything for a purpose to save lives. He was looking at the service, what God, the plan that God had for him. That's all what he was looking at. For him, it's just like, you know, Jesus Christ was betrayed. You know, when Jesus Christ was betrayed, the purpose for his betrayal was to do what? To die for our sins. The causation, for many people oversee the fact that Judas' betrayal is the one that triggered salvation. You know? But when you are talking about betrayal, you are angry with Judas, right? You're angry. I say, but how could you betray the Lord Jesus? How could you do it? But the end game of us having salvation was because of that betrayal. The reason why Joseph became prime minister was because the brother sold him. That's the reason. If the brother had not sold him, he wouldn't have become prime minister. He wouldn't have become, there was supposed to be a trigger. But the Bible tells us that when Joseph, see, and Joseph said unto them in 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. This is a lesson I'm teaching you. He was telling their brothers, you are focusing on the past too much. Let's look at the end. Right? To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people's life. Right? To bring, the goal was to save lives. I am happy that I was part of the life saving. That's just what matters. Whatever you did is in the past. I am just happy because lives have been saved. Hallelujah. That is what preoccupies me. I don't keep anger in my heart. I don't. In my service to God, whatever, if you anger me, well, just, I'm not going to be moved. I might react and say, no, just forget it, leave it. In my service to God, I will focus on my service to God. Because at the end of the day, you look back and you say, okay, maybe that's why that brother said what they said or that sister said what they said. And I understand why. You know, the end always will justify the means. Like people like to say, you don't retaliate. He who serves doesn't retaliate. He who serves doesn't retaliate. Like some people will say, you are just lucky that I have Jesus. You have come when I have Jesus. If Jesus were not here, oh man, you would have seen something today. Oh yes. I would have shown you who I am. Just don't retaliate. God will always look for a way. God will always, I remember we were in a funeral one day, and a dear beloved brother had passed away. Beloved brother. And we were there with our pastor, you know, just comfort the wife. And then all of a sudden, a family member came and put the blame of this brother's death on the church. The brother had died. The brother was sick for a while. But, you know, when you are in a place, you observe how your pastor will react. Some of us were burning inside. We were like, why are they talking? And they were talking. My pastor was a very calm man. He was just calm him. Focusing on people are grieving right now. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. But you know what? There was a lady there who knew the church, who was not a believer. That lady stood. She just, I don't know where she came from. I know she had a son. Whom that son gave his life to Christ. She was so happy because that son was a terror. He was crippled, but a terror. His name was used as an adjective for mischief. Can you imagine? You are so known for atrocities that your name is used as an adjective for mischief. One day we were baptizing some people and we were going out and he was talking and then I told him, I said, one day you will be baptized like this. Not long he gave his life to Christ. The mother was so elated, so happy. Say, my son has been transformed, his behavior is changed. He's no longer who he was. I know how my son was. And all of a sudden the mother shows up in that funeral. And this man was talking and talking against the church. Oh, you killed him. This woman stood and said, I cannot take this anymore. She stood up and said, look, you are crazy. We're surprised. Why? Where is she from? She said, do you know how the church has suffered with this brother? This brother was sick. Who was taking care of him? It is the church. Where were you? And she did not end there. She said, if you touch them, you will see something. A woman, and that's how she was huge. She said, if you touch them, you will see something. And we just stood there like that. You see? If we were the one going to fight, you don't know the image. If the pastor had said, what are you doing? Were you here? And they're shouting, you know, they would have said, oh. Luckily, it's not even in these days like now like this. Anything you want to say, cameras, they are all there. People are taking it. Yes. I'm going to go viral with this one. Yes. But we start. Our pastor just sat him calm and God said, it's okay. I got this. And this lady fought for us. And that man went into his corner and sat him disgraced with shame. And the church took over. Nobody could say anything. The church just took over. So when you are serving God, don't focus on retaliation. No, don't do that. Retaliation is not what God called you to do. No, God did not call you to retaliate. God takes care of us. Right? God takes care of us. The people today who are fighting you, tomorrow will come back and be your friends. Hallelujah. They will come back tomorrow and be your friends if you don't retaliate. Because when you retaliate, oh Lord, then what comes next? You have to repent. And we know how that goes. You have to repent if you want to give them an opportunity of salvation. You have to repent. Those who serve are also loyal. Joseph was loyal. Like I said, you know, when the people met him and Pharaoh sent the people to him, he said, well, for Pharaoh's sake, maybe he was thinking, say, how can I repay this man who saved my life, who did not look at my youthfulness, he did not look at my origin. He just gave me trust. How can I repay him? His loyalty just triggered and said, look, one fifth, give it to Pharaoh. To Pharaoh. Hallelujah. And when you read the Bible, you see they will tell you that how did the children of Joseph and of Israel, how did they get into slavery in Egypt? The Bible says a Pharaoh arose who did not know the works of Joseph. He did not know it. He was not aware of what Joseph had done. You know, it's not like Iran today in the news. A lot of every news now is Iran. We call it Iran in Africa. Here they call it Iran. But you know that in Iran, in their parliament, there is a seat reserved for Jews. Up to today. You know why? Esther. Yes. up to today. It's a predominantly, it's an Islamic republic. But in their parliament, there is a seat preserved. It's a constitution. There is a seat preserved for Jews. There's a seat preserved for Jews. Loyalty. Loyalty opens doors for you that you would not imagine. So when we are in the body of Christ, the first thing we have to do is you have to identify what God really wants you to do in God's house. You know, you tell yourself, I don't want to be an observer. I want to be a participant. Something I can do for the Lord. Like I told you, when we gave our life to Christ, the pastor did not teach us how to preach. That was not his goal. He could have taught us how to preach. We would have been powerful preachers. But the fruit, that is a fruit that matters. But instead, he told us the dignity of manual labor. He used to call it the dignity of manual labor. What are you doing in God's house? Are you just an observer? Do you just look at things? Do you understand how God's house life operates, God's house operates? Your local church, are you invested in it? How are you invested in it? You ask yourself these questions. How are you invested in it? How can you make it? You know, how can you be part of this work God is doing in your local church? You know, don't make yourself to be just a Sunday to Sunday Christian. You don't understand how those chairs are being placed. The young men, I'm happy that you guys are here today. Are you guys with me, young men? You don't just make yourself, you have to make yourself available. Okay? After church, we did not just go, run. Would you play? Touch, and you know, that's not what we did. We'll greet everybody and then we'll stay. Because you had to put back the pastor's house the way a visitor who comes during the week will sit, not on the bench, but on chair, suffers. So after everybody, and you don't grumble and say, oh, these people, why are people just greeting? They're just talking. We let them leave so that we can put this thing back. No. We'll be part of it. We'll walk, we'll talk, and the rest. Then we'll remove the benches, put the sofas back, and we'll carry our Bibles. And we'll blow our whistle and we'll go back home. We'll be happy that we served, we are serving in God's house. It started there, those small things that you might ignore. But you don't know that it's very, very useful. Because you sit on those chairs, you don't know how it got there. Can you imagine one day you come here and it's a pastor doing chairs? That would be, it will not be a good sight, right? It will not be. So, as you are in the church, you youths, teenagers, soon to be teenagers, even though in our house, some people don't want us to rest because they are counting their days when they become teenagers. Unbelievable. But you know, you are in God's house. Look for something to do. Joseph was a servant, and because his heart was in the right place, your heart must be in the right place. Your reason must be the right reason. Amen? Your heart must be in the right place. Your reason must be the right reasons. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talked about us being the body of Christ. We are part, many parts. In the body of Christ, right? If we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 4 to 8, can we have Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8? It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Amen? All members have not the same office. Let's go to 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith. Then 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. 8. Or he that exalteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. That is the body of Christ. God has structured it in a way that everybody has a part to play. Nobody is an observer, nobody. Everybody is an active participant. Amen. Those who sing, they sing. Those who clean up, they clean up. And just to remind you, we are going to summer. I mean, very soon we are going to be cleaning the church. Just to remind you, we are going to be cleaning the church very soon. We're supposed to do it in October. We missed it. Eh, Brother Uche? Sorry. We have to do it this, you know, we have to do it. And so when they call on service, happily participate. Your heart should be in the right place. Hallelujah. Your heart should be in the right place. Remember the food, drive that we had. You know that those gifts that we, the food that we, you know, do you know how it went to the Cleveland Bank? Somebody offered to go take it there. Have you ever thanked that person? Thank you for thanking her, because it's not easy. Thank you so much, Deaconess Maria. Thank you so much. This is what we are talking about. In the church of God, you look for a means to help, to operate. Your heart, put your heart in the right place. There are many people in the church who are so under burden because they have not identified that service that God has orchestrated for them. If Joseph did not have that mind to oversee things, all what he was going through would have been a burden for him. Because when Potiphar wouldn't have even seen him as somebody who could rule his house, he wouldn't have had an opportunity to be exposed to Potiphar's wife, to be tempted to go to Pharaoh's prison. He wouldn't have had it. Amen? So we have to look for something to do. Look for something to do and find joy in doing it. In God's house, if you do something and it's a burden, that is not what God has asked you to do. Amen? You have to reconsider, like I was telling somebody yesterday. I say, every time you always have problem, they call me and I say, every time you always have problem, please reconsider. Reconsider your life. There's something you are doing that is wrong. Something is not right somewhere. Maybe your choices. Something is not right. Reconsider. So if you are in God's house and you are doing something and you are not happy doing it, that is not where you are supposed to be. Ask God. Make your heart be in the right place and you will flourish. Because the good thing with God is blessings are from Him. And there's a law that He has that when you are walking in the right place, He takes care of you. Amen? You don't worry at all. He just takes care of you. If your ceiling needs repairs, He will take care of it. Amen? I told you a story how I had a leak in my house, bathroom up, leaked, and I did not know how I'm going to do this. You know, and all of a sudden, a very nice insurance lady said, Kermit, we don't do plumbing. We don't pay for plumbing. But you know what? Since the water fell on the ground and there is probability that there is mold, we'll send a mold expert. He will come and do his own analysis. Whatever he sees, we'll see what we can do from there. And then she sent it and he came and pictures all over the place and then went back and said, Kermit, we got it. This is how much I can give you. I look at the amount. I say, what are you talking about? He said, look, I'll give you this money. If you want to fix whatever you want to fix, but I will advise you, you can take some and do the plumbing. I said, give me the money, my dear. I was so happy. No, that was just God taking care of me. God looking after me. You know, serve God and put your heart in the right place and you will not regret it. You will not regret it. You will not regret it. God will always make a way. And so in conclusion, service should never be a burden
but the privilege that should be accepted with gladness. See, servants are selfless. They don't look at themselves, but on God and others. See, in the grand scheme, is what they do. They look at the grand scheme. They look at the outcome. Joseph looked at the lives he saved, and he realized that he cannot be angry with his brethren. He cannot. So he's happy. He's happy because he saved lives. That is what preoccupied Joseph. I saved lives. I saved lives. My servant, my heart of a servant, placed me in the position where lives could be saved. Your life as a servant in God's church will place you in a position where people will give their life to Christ. Amen? People will come to God because of the service that you are doing in God's house. They will know that this man is committed to his service. Like today, somebody invited me. I told him, I cannot come. This is church. You're supposed to come to church. I will be in church. You have to serve God. You have to serve God. And God will take care of every other thing. Because God knows whatever you think you are going through. And he even knows what is ahead that you don't even know about. God has saved us from so many things that we don't even know about. We don't know about. Just because of our service. Just because of our service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us stand up. God is calling us this morning to have a spirit of service, just like Joseph had. You know, in humility, favor comes. You must be loyal. In all these things Joseph went through, he never complained. He never retaliated. He never said, this is payback time. He did not do it. Because he was focused on the service, the work God had for him. Anybody who begins to think, to retaliate, to want to pay back, that person has missed it. That person has missed it. The natural man wants to retaliate. The natural man. In my family, my mother, we are five boys, one girl. The last is a girl. I'm the third. Third boy. And so you know how boys are fighting all over. I had two brothers, elder brothers, who always gave me the beating. And I would tell them, I would say, look, I will retaliate one day. I told them that one day I am going to pay back this thing that you are doing to me. And I kept it in my heart. But as I was growing up, I became also a big person in stature. I mean, then one of them wanted to fight me one day. I said, brother, this is not going to happen. You are not going to beat me. I just made my hand like this. And he saw strength. And he knew that I had grown. And then he went back. But only that act that he did removed retaliation from my heart. That he left, he recognized that I had grown. That I could also stand for myself. He said, no. I said, no, no retaliation. The natural tendency of man is to retaliate. But the servant will never retaliate. A focused servant has only one goal. How can I please my master? That's it. He doesn't say, wait, let me please my master. When I finish, I'll come on. And he doesn't do that. You know, hallelujah. I pray that God helps us to have the servant hearts this morning. Where we identify things in God's house that are in need of service. And we begin to walk towards those things. We begin to see how we can help in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We are grateful, Lord. Your word. You are calling us to be servants, Lord. You are calling us to be servants. Father, even Jesus, when you were on earth here, you said your meat was to do the will of your Father. You showed us the way to serve God. We pray for our spirit of servants to fill us where we are focused on the work ahead of us. But we have no time for retaliation. We have no time for backbiting. We have no time for laziness. We are not observers, but active participants. Oh, Father, we pray. Because we know that there are benefits in service. We know that it triggers something special in you. We know that you will look down on us with favor as we serve in your vineyard. May the spirit of servanthood fill us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.